This is Orson Welles speaking. I have 45 seconds to tell you about something I think you'll remember the longest day you live.
Orson Welles has something incredible to tell us about his friend, John Maynard.
A few months ago, he was 6 feet 2 inches tall and weighed 190 pounds. Today, he's 2 inches tall, and you can hold him in the palm of your hand.
He may be only 2 inches tall, but John Maynard continues to prove he's the most incredible man in Seattle morning radio.
Incredible, because every hour he gets smaller and smaller.
Incredible, but true. Robin Erickson and John Maynard. Robin and Maynard ask, who is the snottiest neighbor?
And who is the snottiest neighbor?
Can I talk to Brian, please?
Brian, yes. Could you get on the phone, Brian?
Yes, mommy.
All right.
Brian, your girlfriend's on the phone.
Go ahead, Brian.
Howdy.
Hello?
Howdy.
Can you put Brian on the phone, please?
Okay, can you hold on a minute? Hold on!
Can you hold for a moment while we get Brian for you?
Oh, is that what you were saying? Yeah.
What do you want to talk to him? What do you want to talk to Brian about?
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll just call back later. Jeez, if it's that big of a deal. Sorry, I called.
It's very important, Brian. It's very important. It's difficult for him to get to the phone.
You know, he's a busy man.
He's a really busy guy. What do you need? Huh?
Hey. He just said he'd be working 3 to 7 tonight.
Oh, that Brian.
Oh, are you calling for a disc jockey?
Yeah.
Are you a groupie?
I'm sorry.
Are you a groupie?
No, not at all, actually.
Well, you've called the groupie line. Oh, it's true. Oh, that's, yeah.
Robin and Maynard ask, who is the snottiest neighbor?
We have to understand the definition of snotty. Snotty, bitchy, not unlike the mighty and powerful Madame Fabulina, who calls for background music at this time. Hi there, Shane.
Yeah, hi, it's Brian there.
Yeah. All right, smartass.
Okay,
to Joshua.
Yes, and it's Joshua, by the way.
Yes, Joshua.
Oh, please.
I would absolutely have to agree with... Yes.
Excuse me, Joshua?
Yes, Joshua.
Joshua, may I call you Nancy?
I would have to say that I am the snottiest neighbor.
Nancy.
Now, Joshua, do tell.
Yes, Joshua.
Well, I would have to say that I wouldn't believe it's snotty, even though nobody has called in does understand.
All right, now listen to me, Joshua. You're taking me on a trip to no man's land. Get to the point.
Okay, I'm getting to the point. People just to be a bit more respectful.
No,
of
you know, Joshua, if you just piss me off, I just don't
that?
Like you.
What the hell is wrong
okay,
with that
Okay, that's
guy.
Just enough. Okay, I'm going to Eric now. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how you doing today?
Well, thank you.
I am the snotty neighbor.
Okay. Oh, you are.
Okay. A lot of it has to do with I live in Squim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Squim is the land of 187-year-old people.
Yes, they love to come there. It's a banana belt. Yeah.
My neighbor had one of those great big huge travel things, you know, travel trailer. Not a trailer, but a Winnebago. Parked it in front of my house. Destroyed the view of the Olympic Mountains. I asked him to move it several times. He wouldn't do it. So I decided to get even with him. When he was gone, I emptied the contents of my septic tank in his yard.
Congratulations,
you're just,
I guess. Yeah.
You're just mad. Yeah. Okay, what is this, a nut house? Brenda.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't have a snotty neighbor story, but I do have a perverted neighbor story. Mm. Our neighbor... he didn't have a telephone, so everybody was calling our house for him. My mother went down to give him a phone message, and he answered the door buck-ass naked. Ooh, sorry,
right.
I shouldn't have said that.
Why?
Well, yeah.
What, naked? Is there a problem with that? All right, thank you very much. Terry, go ahead.
Hey.
Yeah.
I had a neighbor that was, you know, loved her flower garden. It would tinker in her yard. And I had kids that rode their bikes and tricycles, and the tricycle had a squeaky wheel. And she sent her husband over to oil my daughter's tricycle wheel.
I think that's
so
very nice.
Squeak and drive her crazy while she was in her yard.
I think that's very nice of her. Rather than bitch, take care of the problem.
Okay,
I'm sorry, we don't have anybody snotty for you. We have Screwy. Insane, I don't know. Elliot, you doing okay on time here?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, Robin, say hi to Elliot.
Hi, Elliot.
Who was scheduled to be on, and we're doing the snottiest neighbor in Seattle.
Brian?
We can't get anyone yet.
Brian?
Yes?
Did you call for a particular reason?
Yes, did anyone call for me?
So that's the kind of day we're having here, Elliot. How you doing? How's your book selling?
My book, believe it or not, is doing really well. It's in its fifth printing already.
Did you read any of this, Robin?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, no, you didn't give it to her, Nate?
Well, what is it?
Oh, well, let's start from scratch here. This is good.
Okay.
Yeah. You were a flight attendant, and you wrote a book on all of the monkey business that came down on the plane.
Right. Actually, I still am technically a flight attendant. I'm on leave of absence for a year.
So let's just do this. Let's go right to the Mile High Club.
Right straight to the gutter, huh?
First off, I have to ask you, which airline do you fly for?
Well, I can't say that publicly.
Why?
Because the moment I say the airline, I become an unofficial spokesperson in their minds, and therefore I'm subject to their disciplinary...
Yeah, well, we don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what about the Mile High Club, though?
Well, I actually was on a flight from Los Angeles to New York, an all-nighter. It was a DC-10. After takeoff, there was a couple sitting near the back of the airplane on the left-hand side. They were going at it pretty heavily, and, you know, they were kissing and groping and, you know... it was a sparsely populated flight, so everybody pretty much had their own row that they could sleep in. So after we dimmed the lights, when we finished the service, I noticed that the woman suddenly straddled her boyfriend, so she was facing him, sitting in his lap. And for some inexplicable reason, she grabbed a blanket and draped it over their heads.
Oh, Lord.
So all you saw was this blanket going up and down and up and down.
It's like an ostrich, you know. They think because they can't see you, you can't see
exactly
them.
Exactly, like a four-year-old, right? You know,
did
they close their eyes.
Did you turn the lights back out?
Exactly. So, no, we didn't, but we watched.
Well, sure you watched. Do you have a captain make an announcement?
No,
ladies and gentlemen, the back of the plane.
The back, and when the woman... How can I say it? When she reached her final destination, she let loose a scream and
everybody
woke
up. Holy Moses. Oh, Jesus. That's just rough. Now that's just rough.
Oh, man. Do you find it odd at all that just all of a sudden out of this interview you found out that Robin was the woman under the blanket?
That
she
you, Robin?
Admitted to that?
No, it wasn't me.
Well, you don't know that. Would you let out...
Could
you
scream for me, Robin?
Yeah,
would
you...
scream?
Are you like Tarzan, Robin? I don't know.
Let me just ask you this. You give me something to scream about, Elliot, and I'll give you a little holler.
Ooh, baby. All right, I like her already.
Yeah, you and I will go up into the reference department tomorrow at Elliot Bay Bookstore, and I'll throw you around down there by the catalogs.
Boy, I'm plumb tuckered out.